Good morning, brethren. I'm sure everyone had a wonderful feast, just like we did. But sure glad to be back, though. We have a wonderful time there, a lot of fellowshipping, hear a lot of good sermons, but it is always glad to get back. I was thinking about what God told Moses about taking before the feast, if your journey is too long, how you could take the tithe that you have and turn it into money. And he says, and then you can spend that money for whatever your heart desires. And I just wanted to say that I did that. I bought a king-size Kit Kat bar. And that was good. In the past, many times over years, just before the feast, maybe right in the springtime when we start thinking about the Feast of Tabernacles, we would start saying the feast is going to be, you know, so many months away, 5 months away, 6 months away, or whatever. And then it gets a little bit closer. People will start saying, you know, it's hard to believe, you know, 8 more weeks will be at the feast. And I used to always say when somebody would say that, they'd say, you know, just think, 6 more weeks and we'll be at the Feast of Tabernacles. And I would say, yes. And 7 more weeks we'll be back home. I was trying to be funny, but I don't think it was all that funny to most of them. But that's the truth. After another week, then we're back home again. We're back here today. We have about 23 weeks now till Passover. So we have the long winter months and the cold months to look forward to. About 2 years ago, I got to thinking that I would like to understand the book of Revelations more clearly. Now, in the past, in years ago, they had the booklets about the Revelations unveiled at last, and I would study those then, but, you know, it never really did click in my mind the sequence the way I wanted it to. So a couple years ago, I thought I would begin the study in Revelations, and I read the old booklets and some of the new booklets, listened to some of the Bible studies that's online, and try to get this more and more in my mind. It's kind of hard with all the symbols of Revelations, all the sevens that's in there, the seven churches, and you have the seven candlesticks, the seven spirits, the seven angels, the seven trumpets, and the seven last plagues. Then you have the three woes, the battle of Armageddon, then there's the return of Christ, and then there's the wedding. Those were not in any particular order there, but just some of the things that's in Revelations. It's kind of hard to get that in our minds. It is for me. It might not be for you, but it is for me. Well, this message today is not about the book of Revelation, not about prophecy, but I do want to look at one verse in Revelations. If we just go to Revelation 16, verse 6. Revelation 16, verse 6, and this is, I'm going to look at the third bowl of the seven last plagues. And we'll look at verse 4. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink." This is a sentence that I want to look at. "For it is their just due." Now, who they are, you can check that out later. I'm not talking about that. But the sentence that says, "It is their just due," I think we all understand that what that means. I'll just read to you what one of the other translations says about that. Says, "You have given them blood to drink because they spilled the blood of saints and prophets." That's what they deserve. So I believe that we understand about that. We've probably said in the past about somebody that has done something to us that we hope they get what they deserve. I hope we don't say that, but I'm sure that sometimes we probably have. Now, there's a very good reason that I wanted to study the book of Revelations to get these things in my mind clear, because there are two blessings mentioned in Revelations. We won't look at them, but in the very first chapter, it says, "Blessed is he who reads and hears the words of this prophecy That's in chapter 1. And in the very last chapter, in chapter 22, it says, blessed is he who keeps the sayings of the prophecies of this book. So there is a blessing on reading the book and understanding it. The feast is over for 2012. We got about 23 weeks to pass over. Like I said, this is not about revelations, but my point today is try to encourage each one of us to study a subject that we would like to know more about. Perhaps there's something in your mind that you would like to understand better. Perhaps you've thought about it and put it off and never did it. It might be one of the books of the Bible. It could be perhaps the four Gospels. We get to know the mind of Christ better. Perhaps the Psalms. I know there are some here that are studying the Psalms. They're reading one Psalm every day. They're taking notes from that Psalm, and then they're discussing it with one another. You might want to check out a person from either the Old Testament or the New Testament. I've often thought that I'd like to hit some books on the Apostle Paul and just read about his life and try to become more familiar with him. And there's many other things that you can check into, that you can look for. It has to be something that's close to you. Like Revelation was something that I wanted to do. So if there's something that you want to do, just try to encourage you for over the winter months up till Passover to start something like this. I know another couple here that they've decided that they're going to start reading the booklets and the pamphlets that's encouraged for baptism. They're already baptized, but this is something that they decided they would like to do. And I know there's one man here that's studying what Paul has been teaching Timothy in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, because they are a couple of very, very good, interesting books. I listened to some sermons from the Feast of Tabernacles already that's online. I listened to one from Jekyll Island, Bill Cowan. Gave a sermon down there. And he asked the question. He says, have we totally given our lives to God? Have we totally done that? Then he kind of got tears in his eyes, and he told the people that that was his 60th feast. And he said that over 60 years, he was sad at how little he has grown in those 60 years spiritually. We've known Mr. Cowan for, I think, about 10 years and been listening to his sermons for several years. If he's only grown a little, I haven't grown at all. I just haven't grown any at all. I want to look at three scriptures. If you need an incentive to study something or to check into something that you'd like to do, I've got three scriptures I want to go to. First, go to Proverbs 10. Proverbs chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 14, and we'll just look at the very first sentence there. It says, wise people store up knowledge. And you know, you are the wise. You know, Daniel says, the wise shall understand. And God's people are the wise. They're the ones. Wise people store up knowledge. In the King James Version, it says, wise men lay up knowledge. Now, the commentary on this says, wise men lay up knowledge, which they get by reading, by prayer, by meditation, and by hearing the Word of God, and conversation with good men. Or let me just say, conversation with brethren, with men of like mind. This they lay up in their hearts, minds, and memories, that they may not forget it. And I'll just stop there. And it kind of reminds me of the what Christ said, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. So wise people store up knowledge. Another verse I want to go to is in Jeremiah 10. I mentioned in Revelation 16 where these people, they got their what they deserved. They got their due because they had killed the saints and the prophets. Well, God also has something that He deserves, and that is His due. And in verse 7 of Jeremiah 10, now let's start in verse 6. It says, "Inasmuch as there is none like You, O Lord, You are great, and Your name is great in might." Verse 7, "Who would not fear You, O King of the nations? For this is Your rightful due." Now that's what it says in the New King James Version. I believe it says in the Old King James Version that it appertains. That just means that it belongs to Him. In the New International Version, it says, "Who should not revere You, O King of the nations? This is Your due. Among all the wise men of the nations and in all the kingdoms, there is no one like You." So we know that, looking at this, that God does deserve something. And it says here, "Who would not fear You?" He deserves our fear. Now, I got one more verse I want to go to, and that's in Deuteronomy 10. Seems like every one of these was in chapter 10. So in Deuteronomy chapter 10, we'll look at verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. I want to read something about this particular one too. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God?" There again, to fear Him, and that is His due. That's what He deserves. But also, it says, to walk in all His ways. So that means to live our lives according to His ways. And it says, to love Him, to set our heart on Him and Him alone, to serve Him only. To serve Him, to praise Him. We need to praise Him every day, and we need to worship Him. And then the fifth thing is, verse 13, to keep His commandments and His statutes, and that just means that we are to obey Him. And I might just add, because we do these things, because it is His rightful due. It's something that He absolutely deserves. So now as we look forward to the Passover, like I said, we have these cold winter months ahead of us. And then from now to Passover is the longest period between any holy days. We don't want to get discouraged. We want to get our nose in the Bible. We want to study it more, perhaps, than we have before. And so I'll just say that in conclusion here, that God wants us to have the mind of Jesus Christ. And we know that. He tells us that. One way we can do that is to keep our nose in the Bible. Study to show ourselves approved, as it says in Timothy. So let's strive to do that. Let's do that more now than we have ever done it before.